Welcome to Theology Simply Profound, a podcast of Reformed Forum. This is episode 143.
Welcome to our third annual Christmas special. I'd like to open this with one of the greatest Christmas quotes of all time. You'll shoot your eye out, kid. We'll discuss these and other questions today on Theology Simply Profound.
Welcome back to another episode of Theology Simply Profound. I'm Bob Turlow, service pastor here at Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Indian Head Park, Illinois, and with me, as always, is Rob McKenzie. Rob is an MDiv student at Reformed Theological Seminary and also serves as an elder at Westminster. Hey, Rob.
Merry Christmas.
What?
Happy Festivus Day. No, we're back to that. Oh, dear. Have you watched Seinfeld yet?
I have watched Seinfeld, but I don't remember that.
Okay. I've watched Seinfeld. I like Seinfeld. There's other people that can quote everything in it.
Not me.
I don't know it that much.
Not me. No, we're not back to that. I listen to another podcast, and they're celebrating Festivus right now.
Okay. All right. That's fine. No, Merry Christmas.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah. No, it's good. Yep. We're back. This is our third annual Christmas special.
Third annual Christmas special. What else are we going to call it?
You're very Christmassy. This is actually a little bit later than we normally do this.
Is it?
Yeah. Normally we don't actually have an episode on like near Christmas. We have this like a week before.
Oh.
But this one's going to be out.
Either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. So if you're listening to this on Christmas Day, I don't know what's wrong with you.
You need to be listening to good, fun podcasts.
That's right. What we need to do is while you're opening gifts with your kids, just pop this on and you can listen to our voices in the background.
Yes.
Be like, you know, Marley. No.
I was thinking more of when they're cooking, you know, cooking dinner. Getting ready for people to come over, things like that.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Not necessarily opening the Christmas gifts.
So. They might get pretty upset with it.
Yeah, somebody would.
Why am I in a Christmassy mood, Rob?
Because last night you were part of, you went back in time.
Yes.
And performed with Handel.
Performed with Handel's Messiah? What I did, Chicago has this really cool thing. I think it's a cool thing. And it's the name of it is kind of goofy, right? DIY Messiah. Do it yourself Messiah. It's so modern, right? It's like do it yourself Messiah. But it's actually, you know, a wonderful concert that gets put on downtown Chicago in Harris Theater. The do it yourself part is that the audience that buys a ticket and goes sits in seats designated, you know, a soprano, alto, tenor, bass. Mm-hmm. And so you sit where you're comfortable, you're singing, and most people bring a score of the music, and you serve as the choir, or the chorus, rather, for Handel's Messiah, which is, you know, a well-known piece. And what you have then is you have four professional singers up front doing the main parts. A soprano for this, they have a countertenor who essentially does the parts of the altos, a tenor, and a bass. And then there's a full-on orchestra that most of them are there voluntarily, without pay, anything. And we have this just wonderful, wonderful time of singing almost all of Handel's Messiah, and doing the chorus. And so, you know, we sit, we listen, but then the director, the maestro, turns around and he has us rise up out of our seats and we sing the next part. And it's really a really enjoyable time, especially since not most, everything you're singing is scripture.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, you know, tells the story of the coming of Christ from Old Testament texts all the way up through to his birth and then beyond, you know, and you sing the Hallelujah chorus, you sing the Amen. It's just really, really enjoyable.
So it's once a year that you go out to dinner with my wife.
No.
Didn't you go out to dinner?
No.
Oh, did you have dinner here?
We had dinner at our home. We hosted your wife in our home with our children.
I thought, well, I was coming back. Look, I was out of town. I was coming back from Philadelphia. I thought you were...
Your wife joined us for dinner. Yes. We had a delightful meal. And then we drove downtown together. Now, if we have time... which we didn't last night, we like to stop at the Kris Kringle Mart first.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to go. We didn't. We didn't have enough time between our meal and...
To get your Glühwein.
What?
Your Glühwein.
You mean, is that malt?
The Glühwein. That's the German, the hot spice.
The hot spiced wine?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have loved to have gotten some because I do enjoy it and a new mug. If it was a nice one. But, you know, the Kris Kringle Mart is this German, you know better than I do, but it's a big German event, mm-hmm. right, downtown, where they have all these German fair where everything is being sold German, and you mm-hmm. get some good food. And these are people that come from Germany.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And they set things up. And then there's a nice spiced wine. But you can get the spiced wine from Aldi's, which we do.
But it's not like getting it from a chalet that's been imported from Germany.
That is true as well.
Guys in Lederhosen. where else can you get schnitzel and maybe
the Bavarian Lodge. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You get schnitzel and Wurst and Spätzle.
Yeah, if you like this kind of food or German fare for any depth. I'm not like, you know, the things you just said, I don't know what they are. Right. I know they taste good when I have them, but I couldn't name them when you know. But if you like it to any degree, these things will appeal to you. You'll enjoy them. Right. However, the downtown one, at least last year when we went, it is so crowded.
Oh, it is.
It is too crowded.
It is,
And it really is. You're shoulder to shoulder trying to walk through. And if you have children with you, it makes it even more difficult. So I think we're going to put off going to the downtown one this year. And now they have it. I don't know how many years they've had it there. They have it at the Naperville Settlement. And so we're going to give that one a try. And it was in Oakbrook Mall.
Are you going to go this year and do that?
Yeah. Yeah. We're hoping on Christmas Eve to go. And so we're going to just check that out, because at the Naperville Settlement, you know, they have the old homes and they have a blacksmith. No, they have an old printer.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You know, it's a neat place to go. And it's a kind of a really big area. Mm-hmm. And so we're hoping maybe it won't feel as squished.
And the daily going downtown and being at the Kris Kringle Mart is... It's like a cube of people. It's like the Borg. You've been sucked into the Borg, and you are really. It's you two all. It's like okay, there's 4,000 people crammed in about a 2x2 foot space, and you have to turn at the same time.
At the same time to get from just, one place to another.
Yeah, so there's a guy with a whistle blowing, and then you like change, and then when you can, it
is busy.
But
it
because, as many of our listeners know, Melody, my wife, grew up in Germany in Bavaria, and so I have to take her to all things German, and so we normally go to the Kris Kringle. Although it does become harder and harder when it's so crowded.
It is. And we did go a few years ago, and it wasn't as crowded. Maybe it was the time we went.
I think it's
getting earlier, more and more popular.
Yeah, it's true.
I think they're just things that are local that at times, different, I don't know, for one reason or another, could just get really popular. And and another reason is it's been nice here. It's been in the 40s. And so
I know. I know this is weird. It's like I came in the house today. I'm like, this is like balmy.
Yeah, so, you know, people are out. I mean, people don't mind going out when it's in the 40s instead of 20s. So, you know, that's the way it goes. Handel's Messiah, wonderful music event to go to. If you're ever in Chicagoland at this time, it's enjoyable to go see. Right, it's enjoyable to be a part of.
So I'm assuming, because you like this public singing, that you and your family go door to door and sing carols?
No, we have in the past. We did it as a church event with Westminster. We did it in Westchester. I don't know if I think you might have been out of town that year.
I think I was here for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we did it in Westchester. We went another family in our congregation hosted sort of an event in Westchester. Mm-hmm. You know, just getting together and enjoying each other's company. But then from there we went and sang at local homes. Mm-hmm. I do think, you know, those are fun to do.
And we also did it at the exotic Blue Island of Chicago.
Yes, we have done that in the past, too.
Oh, you were there for that.
Okay, that was, I think, early on when I first got here.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. The exotic Blue Island. Which is neither exotic, neither is it an island.
We have several islands here in Chicago. We got Blue Island, we got Stony Island. You know, we're very exotic. So, when I grew up in church, every year, mm-hmm. every year we went caroling, our church would go caroling. I don't think that's something that most churches do now.
Yeah.
I mean, you were in the hippie church. Did you guys do that?
The hippie church. Yeah, actually, it was a big event every year.
Okay. And you went door to door?
No. Sort of. It was a planned event where it was, you'd caravan to different locations. And it was to go to shut-ins of the church, so members of the church that were either shut-in or in some type of nursing home. Mm-hmm. And we would go there and you'd sing just like one or two verses of popular carols. So that actually was a part of my Episcopalian tradition, mm-hmm. right, when I grew up doing. And so I find that it was probably a good, 20, 30 people.
Okay. Yeah.
That would go.
We'd have a lot of people as well.
And it would be real quick. It'd be, you jump in a car, you go where you need to go in this caravan of people, and then you'd, sing a few hymns, say Merry Christmas, and then you'd, run to the next vehicle and follow in a mm-hmm. big caravan. I found that enjoyable. I'd love to do that more. We personally don't have a lot of shut-ins, right? So we don't necessarily have that to do it in that way. But I think, if you go to a community and kind of like through social media today, you just say, hey, there's going to be carolers going out. Yeah. So you don't look like – so people don't think you're like trying to rob them, right?
Well, that's because, again, this is Chicago.
Well, honestly, people are just very – I am too. Yeah. People are just very wary of people coming to their doors, knocking, and just wanting to sing to them. What are you doing here?
Right.
What are you going to do to me if I open the door? Think you're going to get rushed or something.
Well, it's funny because when I was like seven and our church went out, we were caroling and I was at the front. The kids were kind of pushed up to the front. And whoever we were caroling to, we were getting to the end of our singing and she handed out a 20.
Oh, really?
And I was at the front and I'm like, cha-ching, and for some reason they made me give it back. I don't understand that. It's like, this is fantastic. I can make coin on this. And then that was the last time that anybody handed me money. It is interesting how things change. If we went out caroling with the church though, I think we mm-hmm. should all have to dress up. Like the 19th century, like very Dickens.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Kind of, if we're going to do it, let's do it right.
I don't know if that's doing it right, but that's doing it.
I mean, if I'm going to go out now, I want the giant, Wolverine type, sideburns kind of.
Oh, so you're not just talking clothing here. Yeah. You want to put on a costume with or you want to grow them out?
Yeah, I'll just grow them out. Give me a week. Give me a few days. It's not that.
If I remember correctly, you'd also need a ponytail. Because Marley in the Christmas Carol has a ponytail.
Okay, but I wasn't going to be Marley.
Okay. I was going to be. I thought you wanted to be genuine.
Can I be a character without a ponytail, please?
No, maybe. Okay. All right. Final girl. I just thought they all did.
No, I don't. I don't think so. I think that's just actor's choice there for that one. So, what about singing Christmas carols
all year round?
Christmas hymns
all year round.
All year round.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, really? Because it seemed like you were kind of anti, like in church, for Christmas time, singing Christmas carols.
I was?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody was going to choose it, and then you said no, some picked somebody else.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. Did I do that?
No, you didn't do that.
I see.
But it's interesting how easily I convinced you.
Well, I have a really bad memory, so...
No, I think it's interesting. We have some hymns that are Christmas carols that we think of. That are just phenomenal, but we only do them at Christmas
time. And we tend to only do them at Christmas time. I think sometimes, there are some hymns that really give themselves to be done at Christmas time only. And sometimes even then, because it says, he was born on Christmas Day today or something like that. And so it feels like sometimes you can only sing it on Christmas Day.
Right.
Right. Because of the way the phrasing of it, of the hymn is. But if you think about it just simply in terms of a celebration of the day Christ was born, which, not necessarily on December the 25th, mm-hmm. but just a celebration of this one great act of God coming into history. I think it can be sung on mm-hmm. any Lord's Day of the year in celebration of Christ becoming or the Son of God becoming a human being. If you start going through Luke, right, and May, you're gonna get to Luke 1 and 2,
right,
before Christmas time.
Yeah, Yeah. So I don't know. I think I'd like to see that more in churches where, you know, in the summer that Hark the Herald Angels Sing, why not?
Yeah. Well, that one is one that gets picked all year round at our congregation. I mean, we have a portion of our evening service where there are two favorite hymn selections and Hark the Herald Angels Sing is one that does get picked out more often throughout the year than others.
Yeah. And we pick them before the service starts, the week before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is always interesting because then, you know, you got to like, you're as a pastor, you're kind of stuck with whatever two favorites. You know, it doesn't matter what your sermon is because they may or may not match.
They may or may not. Usually they do not. Because no one's thinking about the next week's sermon.
That's true. It's just interesting. But it's good because we also have another hymn that highlights the sermon.
Well, yeah. There's a closing hymn, of course. Yeah.
So what about, and I was looking in our church, I didn't see a manger scene under the Christmas tree. I didn't see a Christmas tree either.
I was about to say, don't give the wrong impression there. There was no Christmas tree either, brother. In our worship service, there will not be.
I guess we shouldn't have it in front. Why don't we have it on the lawn?
First, we don't own the building. That's not first.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's first. Yeah, that's good point.
That's not first.
Didn't even catch that.
We don't use anything like that. We don't use manger scenes. We don't use Christmas trees. I mean, because that's not.
Yeah.
Those aren't Christian. Well, the manger scene is, but we wouldn't want to do empty idolatry. You mean empty crash?
Just everybody staring. You just stack them around and they're all staring into it, and then nobody knows there's no actual image within it.
Yeah.
It fools them.
You mean like with big wide eyes? Like, where'd he go?
Yeah, there you go. Like they're filling out a police report.
No.
Because every time that happens.
We don't use manger scenes. Yeah. They're unnecessary. Usually they're inaccurate. You know, you usually have three wise men standing around it, but, you know, they didn't get there till later.
Right. That is true. Why don't we, petition? What do you think about public manger, like creches?
Creches.
Should you petition to get those taken out?
What do you mean taken out?
Like, well, if do you think that it's good for a community to have a nativity scene?
You like, mean on, like a public land?
Yeah.
I could care less. Sorry.
I don't care either.
Was that too crass?
No.
It doesn't. A lot of towns are, in the western suburbs of Chicagoland are largely Roman Catholic, right? And so, you know, they don't even think about it. So we're going to throw up a scene. Okay. If they do that.
Yeah.
But there used to be a cross on public land in our town and someone petitioned for it to be released, to be removed.
In Westchester?
Yeah, in Westchester. Okay, yeah. I was trying to keep the name of my town out of it, but thanks.
You already mentioned it.
Oh, have I? Okay. All right, never mind. I forget everything.
I don't live in Westchester. So
yeah,
what?
No, it was well before my time here. It was to commemorate something. I don't know what it was.
Okay.
Some public event in the life of either the nation or the state, or I don't know. And there was petition for it to be removed, or there would be some fight. Actually, it may have gone to a lawsuit, but it was an atheist who wanted to get it removed, and it was removed. It was removed. I don't think the town put up much of a fight for it. It was okay. We're not going to spend the money to deal with this, and they took it off. But it's public land. I don't think. It means what people think it means, that, you know, that it violates the separation of church and state.
Right.
And nor do I think it means that the state is supporting Christianity by having a crash. But if it's there, it's there. I'm not going to worship it or concern myself with it. But if it's not there, like I said, I walk up and down my streets. I got enough crashes I'm looking at.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, some are lit up. Some have, you know, spinning heads.
Some of the Simpsons.
I've seen those. Who knows what people think? I mean, sometimes you have Mary just there all year round. I mean,
that's true.
Right?
That's true.
I mean, well, or some other saint.
I hadn't thought about that. You know, it's interesting. I just read an article about the Illinois, down in Springfield, the state house. And they had a satanic...
they got a Paulian
the satanic statue that got put up, and because of the freedom of worship,
so
they, you know, where there's Christian symbols, there's a manger scene in that, so now we got to put
the
up
Church of Satan,
a goat statue or something like that,
yep,
isn't it?
Put it there. Yeah, and then Warner Brothers got sued for using its image.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Because, you know, so if you're going to make an image of Satan, don't use this one unless you get permission.
It's interesting. But, you know, that's living in a public square. Mm-hmm. Okay, if we're going to have freedom of religion, then, you know, the Satan worshipers.
They get to have their show. I'm just waiting for all the other ones, too. You know, all of them to come out. Springfield's going to have like a bunch of different things.
See, I'd be for that. I would be for flooding Springfield with just, you know, statue after statue after statue. Give them something else to do than raise our taxes.
They'd still do that to put up the statues.
That's a good point. So back to the holidays.
Is that what we're driving us away?
Back to Christmas.
And people are listening to this on Christmas Day, Rob.
Of course. I know. They're waiting till this is over till they open their gifts. Right now, their children are physically shaking with presents in their hands because they're waiting for us to stop talking. And the parents are going, shh, no, this is good. You should listen to this. As all parents.
Well, thanks for listening to another episode.
No. We got hours. We got hours to go. No, I want to talk about a movie because there's this new movie.
Oh, yeah. There's this really,
and it's a couple years old. I remember seeing a preview. I wanted to see it. I didn't see it. But I just saw it. The Man Who Invented Christmas, the story about Charles Dickens and him writing the Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm. Just phenomenal. It's a great, great movie.
It was
movie.
Enjoyable.
Highly recommend it. It's on Netflix right now.
No, it's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, it's on whichever. Yeah. It's on one of those two. But it's just great. One of the things it proves is that you can make an entertaining, heartfelt, well-done, quality movie without it being, you know, vulgar and, you know, mm-hmm. It's just fantastic.
Yeah. So. I got to say, I did enjoy it. You know, the title of it made me think of, okay, The Man Who Invented Christmas. Well, this is saying a lot here.
Yeah.
I was like, well, how are they going to portray this guy? You know, you said, yeah, watch it if you can. I was like, all right. So I did. And I certainly enjoyed the portrayal. I didn't know the main actor, but Christopher Plummer plays
Scrooge.
He plays the guy that Scrooge is modeled after. I don't know if that was his name in the movie, but
he plays the Scrooge. Scrooge comes to life.
Yeah,
it's Christopher Plummer's
character.
He's already gotten the kids over the mountain from In Sound of Music. And it's interesting.
Yeah, you're going there, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, and the guy who plays Charles Dickens was Matthew in Downton Abbey. So for Downton Abbey fans out there.
Oh, okay. With long hair. Because he has long hair.
Yes,
right?
he has longer hair. And yes, he has long hair.
Yeah.
As Charles Dickens kind of did.
Ponytail.
He didn't have a ponytail.
I'm messing with you now.
You're talking about the Marley guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He had the ponytail.
He's described as having a little ponytail because it sticks out the other side of the door.
Okay.
He was expecting to see the ponytail on the other side of the door, and he doesn't. So I was reading the Christmas, and that popped out. Like, what? Why is he talking about a ponytail? Anyway.
He's got a ponytail.
Yeah,
Marley. I just don't want one. But no, it's a really good movie. So I highly recommend it. And today, the day of our recording,
December 19th, Wednesday, December 19th, 2018, is the 175th anniversary of the publication of A Christmas Carol.
Which, if you haven't read it, it really is good.
Yeah.
It's a quick read. It's short as far as books go.
The title of which is,
yes,
this is not what I didn't know that this was the title, A Christmas Carol in Prose, Being a Ghost Story of Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we highly recommend ghost stories.
This is the only ghost story I've ever read.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a big ghost story fan.
Okay.
Yeah. This is one you can tell around, I guess, campfires at night?
Sure. Big fire, long night. Yeah, you're good.
It takes about 3 hours.
I mean, there's some, the description of the doorknob. Mm-hmm. When Scrooge comes home before he sees Marley, and the doorknob, Marley's face.
Is it the doorknob or the door knocker?
The door knocker.
Door knocker. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the door knocker, and it's Marley's is really kind of frightening.
Yeah,
and the hearse going through the room, mm-hmm. like drives through. It's kind of scary a little bit there.
Well, that's where, you know, when you do this as a play, which is where a lot of, you know, you see it either as a movie or as a play. My kids actually just, some of my kids just saw this, at a local theater with their school, and they went to, and that was Marley's entrance was the scary part when he came in.
Okay.
With the chains, not that part that you just mentioned with the door knocker, but when he, that was, the kids were like, oh, what's going on? It was good. It was, they enjoyed it.
You know, it's interesting, when I was in school, when I was fourth, fifth grade, something like that, we had our Christmas play. We did a play every year for our school, and it was a Christian Christmas carol.
Oh yeah,
where Scrooge gets saved at the end.
Okay,
so my brother was actually Scrooge.
Was he?
Which is funny that he was Scrooge. Yeah, he did a good job.
Just curious, because I mean that's what you notice in a Christmas carol. There's a transition, of course, but there's no gospel that. Serves as a transition.
Right.
There's no
right.
True, what we might say, repentance in a Christian sense. Would they do that differently then in a Christian Christmas carol? Essentially have except for there's gospel message that's given by the ghosts or you something know, like that?
It's funny because we did the play twice. Mm-hmm. And I know that somewhere the gospel was in there, but it wasn't... It wasn't a lot. It wasn't. I mean, the most of the play was what you'd expect from the Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
But the gospel was in there through like here and there,
interspersed. Yeah,
interspersed.
Yeah.
And then at the end, Scrooge gets saved.
Well, I was gonna say that in the movie, The Man Who Invented Christmas. Mm-hmm. Right. What I thought was interesting. He's going to the publisher. He's trying to sell them on a book about Christmas and Christmas. Yeah. It's in October now, or this is how it's described. Mm-hmm. It's in October, and they're like, Christmas is only this, you know, many weeks away. How can you write a book and us get it published by then? And besides the point, who celebrates that anyway anymore?
Yeah.
Right. And
it's a secondary holiday.
Right. And it was it was quite interesting. I thought, you know,
and that's why they're calling it The Man Who Invented Christmas, because it was after this that Christmas becomes
more popular and such.
Yeah.
The commercial opportunities.
I know. Well, if you're going to get a book out for a Christmas book, you've got to get it out before Christmas, because it's not going to sell after.
Right.
So you need it. They need it there December 1st, which is why they were saying it's too...
He got it to them by, I mean, well, he got it out on his own, or somehow on his own. He went through Amazon, old Amazon.
Yes, that's right. He self-published it.
Got an artist to do the, what?
Yeah, no good.
Yeah. Got an artist to do the pictures in there, which was kind of funny. Some of that part, I thought, in the movie, because he wanted a happy ghost. For the ghost of Christmas present, a jolly ghost. Yes. And the artist is like, how do you make a jolly ghost? Yeah. And he's like, points to his friend. He says, he kind of looks like this guy.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, kind of a tall, chubby guy. And he starts, puts him down and has him draw that guy.
Yeah.
With clothes on or funny clothes on.
Yeah. With the false beard and all that. It's just, it's a great movie. And so if you get a chance, check that out. I am kind of curious, because we were talking about movies. So I was wondering, what do you prefer, the old Miracle on 34th Street, or the black and white one, or the new one? I mean, these are pivotal questions.
I need the crickets to come in right about here.
Have you not seen these movies?
I have.
Okay.
I have seen the old one.
You've seen the old one.
I don't remember if I've seen the new one.
Okay.
I know I saw the old one because I saw it with my parents when I was a kid, but I don't know if I've seen them recently. And I really don't think I've seen the new one.
Well, the correct answer is both. They're both actually pretty good.
Are they?
Yeah. So,
who's in the new one? Do you remember?
You know, I can't remember their names. I don't want to guess right now because I'd get it wrong.
Okay. I can type it in real fast, but I just don't want to.
Yeah.
They're
both good, though.
They're both good. Miracle on 34th Street.
They do.
Yeah.
They are
that's where Santa comes and he claims to be the real Santa and he goes to court, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So the U.S. government has to prove that he's Santa.
That he's not Santa.
Well, either way.
Right, right.
Yeah.
He has to defend his name and that he is the true Santa.
Yeah.
And then the court. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to give it away. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
When a movie's been done 16 different ways and the first one's a black and
then
white.
We can't be responsible for the spoilers, right?
That's right.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, I think everybody's seen it by now.
He's really Santa. Yeah.
Of course. Of course. And Santa is real. So what about, like, so describe a typical, like, Christmas.
For me.
Like, yeah, for you.
Christmas morning?
Like, Christmas morning, Christmas day. Like, is there eggnog? Are there certain?
There's
foods?
Eggnog leading up to, like, we'll have eggnog in the house throughout, but it's not like a specific Christmas morning thing.
You mean like bottles of eggnog just strewn throughout the house?
No, come on. We'll have it in the house for us to drink at various times whenever want to. It's just a seasonal thing that we'll have in the refrigerator.
That's a better place for it.
That we'll, you know, enjoy sometimes just regular, sometimes with a little bit of extra stuff in it to spice
extra
it up a little bit.
Extra nog?
Extra whiskey. Just something to have a little, you know, spice it up a little bit. Let's see. A typical Christmas morning. Is that what you're looking for?
Well, like, yeah, we'll stick on food.
For food. Yeah. Like, we don't have a typical food for Christmas morning. Although we have stuff that, I mean, local in our home, when we've gone to family, we would go to Christmas at my wife's grandmother's house, regularly when we lived in Connecticut. And every year there was always, smoked salmon. Mm-hmm. That you would, you know, like the little pieces, was like as a hors d'oeuvre. Okay. There with some form of cheese and warm apple cider. That was there as well. That's wow. Yeah. And it was kind of formal, this setting. But it was really enjoyable. Yeah, and so this year we are doing the smoked salmon.
Are you really?
We are.
Do you have it on toast? Like little pieces of
food? I don't know what we'll have it on, but usually, no, I think it's just by itself, but then there'll be crackers and cheeses nearby.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have one thing that Melody's family has.
I was going to say one more piece of food.
Oh, yeah, no, go for it.
Marzipan. You know, you ever had marzipan?
The candy?
Yeah.
Is it like a...
It's a almond paste candy. It tastes like almond.
I didn't realize you grew up in 1920s Czechoslovakia.
This is Eastern Europe. I mean, so yeah. My wife's family is some of her background is Russian, and part of that was an escape from the Russian or Russia during the Russian Revolution. Mm-hmm. So she didn't grow up in Russia, but other part of Europe before she came to the States. And so there was some, there's an eclectic aspect to it, but yeah, marzipan was a big deal. And so every year we that is another thing, we have some form of marzipan, whether it's chocolate covered marzipan or a marzipan candy that is shaped like a fruit of some sort. It's for some reason, I'm not sure why, but yeah, what is
marzipan actually made of?
Well, sugar and almond paste is my guess.
Okay.
But there might be other stuff
in it
too.
Salmon.
No, that's separate. That's a separate thing. The marzipan is, we don't eat these together, like put them all in our mouth at once, Rob.
That would really be
that
disgusting.
That would be gross.
It would be, I know.
But we're, you know,
you guys
typically
eat gross,
we
you
have
guys eat gross food. What's
a man who does not like blueberries is saying this.
No, that's my point.
Yeah, I do not take food advice from the man sitting across from me right now.
When everybody should. Everybody really should.
Aside from, you know, we have turkey, cranberry sauce, we have other things that we typically might have at a Thanksgiving meal as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I grew up, we would have all the, whatever you think of as traditional, anyway, the turkey and the stuffing.
Well, traditional is different for different people.
Well, traditional in the sense of the American traditional Thanksgiving, the majority of things that were there, you know, the cranberries and then, you know, apple pie, pumpkin pie or cherry pie.
Sure.
You know, those, all those very typical
blueberry
things.
Blueberry pie.
you know. But
cream of mushroom soup.
It was, oh no! See, no, that's not good. No, we did not have cream of mushroom soup. I would not have been there. But I remember it was like pickles. That was one thing. Dill pickles.
Dill pickles were always there.
I can eat those. Yeah, dill pickles.
Okay,
they were always there. For some reason, I always associate dill pickles with like Thanksgiving Christmas.
And Christmas.
And I don't know why, because it's not like we don't have pickles throughout the year, but we do. But you know, turkey. Of course, turkey. But then, you know, I got married, and of course, my family was a very small grouping. Mm-hmm. But then I got married, and Melody's family has this thing. There's something about Christmas or Thanksgiving that they have to make every single side dish that they've ever had in their lives that has to be at the actual meal.
So there's lots of food.
There is, yeah. It's just, I mean, you know, it's stuff, you know, most of it, of course, I won't eat. But it's just these string. I mean,
because you're, you
know, yams. Because I'm
yams.
Know it's good. Yams, cranberries. But they have this thing, bubble bread.
With yes. And
they
eat. I don't know what that is.
Well, it's like bread that's in like little bubbles that are all connected, and you pick off the bubble and you eat it, and in one of the bubbles is a little nut, and whoever gets the nut is Santa that year and hands out the presents.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
I mean, is it good bread?
Yeah, it's
well, good. Then what are you whining about?
Well, I don't want to be Santa.
Well, spit it out.
Well, that's the thing. You just eat the nut. Nobody got it. Yeah. It's like, well, who? Right. Because then you have to keep eating the bread.
And then
like, keep eating. And then at the end, it's like, nobody's gotten the nut. And then they know.
Who's
somebody,
lying?
Somebody doesn't want to be Santa. And it's like, you know, and then of course all the kids are going, I want to be Santa.
So you guys still believe in Santa?
Well, of course. Yes. Have you not? He's in a lot of movies. Have you not?
Have you not seen him?
Yeah, come on. I mean, I see him. He's on street corners. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
But so another back and forth here. Mannheim Steamroller or Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
Yeah. You know, I was listening. I was like, okay, who are these people? And I looked them up today. No, I know Mannheim Steamroller, and I know that I pretty much don't like them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anti-Mannheim Steamroller.
It's not that I'm anti. Christmas. I just do not, from what I have heard, okay. I do like some of it, okay. Very little of it. It's just too electronically, like techno, mm-hmm. kind of electronic to me. I just don't like that.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, you like that better?
Yeah. Well, it's just because it's more orchestra. I mean, it's
right in the name.
It's actually stringed instruments. And the other one sounds like the whole thing's being played on a keyboard.
A lot of it is, yeah.
And, you know, I might like the tunes and everything. Like, I mean, I hadn't listened to it in a long time. And I have a CD. It was part of the White Elephant gift I was giving away.
Sorry, Chip Davis.
Yeah. So, but it was just so electronic. And it was the Hallelujah Chorus, the one that I like typed in. I was like, Mannheim Steamroller, Christmas. And that's the one that came up. Yeah. And I'm like, this doesn't sound like the Hallelujah Chorus from Messiah. I just sang it last night. Anyway, sorry, whoever I'm offending. But yeah, if it's between the two and I get the electronic keyboard or I get an orchestra, I like the orchestra.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. How about you? And why?
I like... Now, there's certain songs of Mannheim Steamroller that I like, and mm-hmm. there's certain songs of Trans-Siberian Orchestra I like, but I don't...
That might be the case with me, but it's just generally... Well,
have you heard of Piano Guys?
Oh, I love Piano Guys.
Okay. Do you, their Christmas one? Have you heard?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard that? Okay.
Yeah.
Melody's a big... I like Piano Guys. They're fine.
No, we got onto it through my son. He started listening to it first, and he probably got onto it from kids at school or something. But then first thing was their videos.
Okay. Yeah.
Their videos are really, really, fantastic. Yeah. You know, and sometimes they use Christian motifs, even though they're Mormon.
Right.
But they are singing like sometimes hymns that we're familiar with. Mm-hmm. But then they do mixing up of old and new really well.
It's the Star Wars reference that you like. Come on. Admit it. It's the lightsabers on the
Hey, that's the cello. That was one of the, what is it called?
I can't remember.
Cello Wars. Yeah. I think it's good.
You know, an obscure Christmas album that you would really like that I would recommend, and it's going to be an obscure reference here. Have you heard of Patch the Pirate?
No.
Okay.
I do not think I have heard of Patch the Pirate.
All right. Well, it's a very Bob Jones dispensational-ish kind of.
Yeah, I would not have heard of that. Yes.
Is a guy, Ron Hamilton is his name, and he had lost his eye to cancer, I think. And so he wore a patch, and that's how, you know, he got the name Patch Pirate, because he lost his eye. And but he puts out all these kids, really, they're cheesy. Okay, I'll just say it right now. They're pretty cheesy.
Might as well be
honest. Kids things. And they're cute. I mean, there's some really, you know, there's some cute stuff. For younger kids, they're really... They really like him.
Okay.
But his wife is Shelley Hamilton, and she has put out this CD where she combines Christmas hymns and classical music. It's fantastic.
Okay.
So if anybody can get a hold of that, anybody likes classical music or Christian, you know, it's all instrumental. Mm-hmm. But Shelley Hamilton and the Christmas, and I can't remember if it's called Christmas Hymns or what, but it's really, really excellent. It's something I really enjoy listening to. I believe that Shelley Hamilton is Frank Garlock's daughter. Boy, I'm trying to think of obscure references here that probably two people in our audience know. but the CD is so good that I highly recommend it. It's really, really nice.
Well, I think it can be found at majestymusic.com.
Well, that's Ron Hamilton, Majesty Music. That's they do a lot of church music and stuff like that.
Do they?
There's some songs.
Yeah, there's Patch the Pirate.
That you would probably actually know. Some of his, they do a lot of just regular, you know, hymns or songs to be sung in church. But I'm trying to think of the most famous one. But some people might know. So anyway, I was wondering if you've heard of Romeo Muir.
You keep throwing people at me. Patch the Pirate, yeah. I do not know.
Romeo Muir.
I do not know Romeo Muir.
You love Romeo Muir.
I do.
You do?
I do.
Yeah, and I just can't believe that you don't know who he is. I think he would be hurt. I think to know that you don't know who he is.
All right, can I look him up?
No.
No?
Sure. Romeo Muir is the guy that wrote the screenplays for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all of those Arctic Puppet.
Oh, those things.
Christmas shows that you love so much.
Hmm.
And I thought, so this, you should be, you should have a poster of him on your wall, maybe.
I'd prefer one of like Rudolph.
We'll see what I can do on that. But he also, and this is the interesting connection, he also wrote the screenplay for the television version of the 1970, I think it's 77, cartoon of The Hobbit.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, which is really interesting.
Like the only reason you like know of him.
But it's interesting that you go back to the Rudolph. You know, this is the claymation kind of
thing going on. Or puppet motion.
Arctic puppets.
I don't know what those things are, but.
In Elf, that's what Elf calls them. He says, hello, Arctic puppets.
Arctic puppets.
It's like, it's just hilarious. And then he wrote, and from a token, you know, geek fan that I am.
You said it.
That is, with pride. That 1970s, the Hobbit, and then Lord of the Rings. I don't think Muir wrote those. They're horrible as far as the story goes for Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit. I mean, they're just, but there's something about them that, you know, maybe it's because, when you first see them, let's see, 1977, I was 5. So, you know, seeing that, you as a kid, you love it. And then you realize this is like, did he read the books before he wrote these? You know,
he did The Hobbit in 77.
Yeah. 77, yeah. Okay.
And he did The Return of the King.
We did do Return of the King. Okay.
In 80.
Okay.
Yeah. He also did like Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah.
You know, those things.
I know. He's prolific.
I'm looking at it now and it's, wow. There's a lot here. This guy was prolific.
I think he did Jack Frost.
He did all those Rudolph ones. He did Jack Frost. He did the little Rascals Christmas special.
Oh, really? There you go.
The famous one, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and Frosty the Snowman, all these. Yeah. Oh, thank you for letting me know about this, Rob.
No problem. No problem.
This was information I just had never thought of. So you can look him up. Romeo Muir.
Is that Internet Movie Database? Is that where you looked him up?
No, this is Wikipedia.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Yeah, it's got a filmography of him, of holiday TV specials and other TV specials.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you for joining us, all you listeners out there.
I thought you were going to ask the one pressing question.
Oh, what's the one pressing question?
We almost got there early on. We were talking about Christopher Plummer. Of whether or not The Sound of Music.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Was a Christmas.
Is The Sound of Music a Christmas movie? That's right. That's a good. Well, they play it every year at Christmas now.
It's like this big thing that
they play it, which is funny because, I mean, you know, anybody can watch it anytime for one thing, but also, how did it become? There is a Christmas scene.
A Christmassy thing?
Yeah. I mean, there is. It's not like they don't have Christmas at some point. They do. But I don't know. I don't know. How did it become a Christmas?
I had never thought of it as a Christmas story.
I keep hearing this, a Christmas movie. Because the reason why I put that on there was because there's always the debate about what's a Christmas movie.
Right, like Die Hard.
Die Hard, yeah. Of course, which is, yes,
Christmas
of course
movie,
it is.
Definitely.
And Gremlins, Christmas movie.
Movie I don't like
beyond,
to see.
Beyond,
yes.
Beyond Doubt, yeah. Christmas movie. But then The Sound of Music came up, that also
really?
Is a Christmas movie. And I just don't think I can classify that as a Christmas movie.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is the kind of great intellectual conversation that people come to listen to.
Yeah, this is
the debate. And I think we've settled it here.
Did we?
That, yes.
Did we really?
Not actually a Christmas movie. See? Good movie. Excellent movie.
Yes. Gotta love The Voice.
Oh. Yeah. The Voice?
Yeah. The Sound of Music? The Voice? She's singing?
Oh, right. Yes. Well. What? A lot of them sing.
Yeah. You know. But, I mean, come on. The main voice. I'm, all of a sudden, her name slips my mind.
Julie Andrews.
Thank you. Just yes. Is absolutely wonderful. It's,
well, everybody there.
Yeah.
It's just
which
phenomenal.
Actually now that makes me think yeah. of Mary Poppins Returns is coming out this soon, but it's playing locally that we might get to go see it.
Okay. Are you inviting all the listeners to go see Mary
sure,
Poppins?
Sure. Yeah. Go. I have no idea if it's going to be good or not, but I mean, it's
hopefully it will be good.
I'm hoping it will be because, you know, it's a really enjoyable movie yeah, character.
Right. And of course, we got there because of Julie Andrews.
Yes, that's how we got there. Not because of Christmas. Yes. But since this is a podcast about anything right now, anything that we want to just throw
that's
out.
That's true. Well, it's yeah. Christmassy. We got there.
But it's coming break. Out. It's not coming out, yeah. but it's we might see it over the Christmas break. That's,
I see.
That's the other part. See, there's the Christmas part.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Well, thank you once again for joining us. Theology Simply Profound as you've suffered through our third annual Christmas special. Thank you for letting us indulge ourselves.
Yeah, well, what's up next time?
Well, next time we're actually going to take a couple weeks. Next time we're going to re-put up mm-hmm. the first dispensational episode because I've had several people ask if we would put that up again.
Okay.
And so we're going to put that up with just because people have been asking for it. I think it's really in conjunction with my book is out now mm-hmm. and people have been writing and talking about the book and then asking me about the, and I point them to where we have our dispensational series.
But you want to get into the feed.
And yeah, they've asked if we could just put it up. So okay. It's like, okay, that's fine. So my, but the book is out. And of course the study guide as well has just come out. Finally mm-hmm. gotten that out.
Available at Amazon.com.
Amazon.com. And at the Reform Forum as well.
Yeah, that's right. Is the study guide at Reform Forum
not,
as well?
Not yet, okay, but it will be there at some point.
There you go.
So we're going to do that. And mm-hmm. then we are going to actually have a week without a show because I'm gone for yep. a couple weeks.
Yeah. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We don't know how yeah. long yet.
And then we'll be back with more episodes on Pilgrim's Progress.
All right. Well, again, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Until next time.